You know, I pray over these messages, and I take time to hear from God. And the other day I was praying, and the word persistent faith kept coming out of my spirit, persistent faith. And I said, okay, Lord, that's what we'll call this message today, and it's called persistent faith, persistent faith. The word persistent means this, and I had to look it up, and I knew a little bit about it, but I like to look things up. I like to try to stay educated as much as I can. But it means continuing firmly a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. And that's good. Continuing firmly a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. And then it says continuing to endure over a prolonged period. That should be the way our faith is. Come on, persistent faith. Having faith in spite of difficulty. Having faith in spite of opposition. Persistent faith. Faith that when it gets knocked down, it gets back up. Faith that won't listen to the negative, but will always listen to the Word of God. Come on. Persistent faith. Come on. There's always going to be obstacles in your life. There's always going to be opposition. Get that straight. Always. Because we have an enemy. First Peter 5 and verse 8 and 9 says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And I like this verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Steadfast in the faith. Steadfast means this, resolutely or dutifully firm and unwavering. We need to have faith in this final hour, this persistent, come on, consistent and unwavering, regardless of the opposition. Amen. 1 Corinthians, and I love this passage of Scripture, and these letters to the Corinthians, I love them. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this, therefore, my beloved brethren, there's that word steadfast, be steadfast, unmovable, unshaken, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He said, be steadfast, be unmovable. Let me say this. You will always get Jesus' attention when you are persistent with your faith. Let me say that again. You will always get Jesus' attention when you're persistent with your faith. The Syrophoenician woman, and I love talking about her, she was persistent. She was a woman whose daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. And she got Jesus' attention with her persistent faith. She wasn't going to settle for anything less than total healing and deliverance for her daughter. Made up her mind she wasn't going to settle for nothing less. She got tired of seeing her daughter lay in the bed day and night, grievously tormented with a demon, messing up the whole family situation. She knew she was from the wrong side of the tracks. She knew she wasn't a Jew. She knew she was considered an outcast. She knew she would be humiliated, but she laid all that aside to get to Jesus for the sake of her daughter. I'm going to tell you something. If I was sick, I'd do anything to get into the presence of an almighty God. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. And some will watch my live stream, live right down the road and won't even make an attempt to get here. And then they complain about the devil taking over their house and being invaded with anxiety and invaded with fear and having to spend hours in the doctor to get some medical attention to pop a pill to help them deal with anxiety and society. That's what the Holy Spirit will do if you're persistent with your faith. Come on, He will help you. I'm so excited about this Bible study that Joe Ritter's teaching on the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the more you talk about the Holy Spirit, the more He's going to show up. Come on. I said, the more he's going to show up. Hallelujah. This woman, I want to go to Matthew and I want to show you this passage of scripture. And something must have happened the last Sunday service. I was just walking around. All of a sudden it was over. But I guess we had a lot of reviews. I think people are hungry for the supernatural. Come on, they're hungry for this. They're getting more hungry. Matthew 5 and 6 says, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. Filled up, filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Word of God. Filled with the wisdom of God. And Matthew chapter 15, and I want to read verses 21 through 28 here. And Jesus departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan. And Mark's gospel says that she was a Syrophoenician woman. She came out of the coast and cried to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She knew there'd be rejection. She knew there'd be humiliation. She did not care. She had persistent faith. She made up her mind, I was going to find Jesus, and I was going to grab a hold of him, and I wasn't going to leave his presence until I get what I came for. Some of you need to press in till you get in his presence. It might take you 5 or 6 hours, but stay there. Well, that's a long time to get in the Lord's presence. It's a long time to sit today and watch the playoff games. Eat popcorn and chips and dips. We'll do that, but we won't be persistent in our faith and press in and stay there in God's presence till he shows up. You need to show God you mean business. Amen. And when you get to the place where you pass God's test, where you show God, oh, hallelujah, that you mean business with him, then he will mean business with you. Because he hears a lot of hot air, a lot of people blowing smoke. Come on. You know what I'm talking about this morning? Some of you are looking down like, I don't know what you do. It's none of my business. My business is to give you what God gives me to give you. And that's your business to do something with it. Amen? Amen. Jesus, son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She didn't say it meekly. The Bible says she cried. When it says someone cried out, that means they cried out with the top of their lungs, with the top of their voice. He answered her not a word. And if that wasn't bad enough, his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. She's crying after us. I'm going to tell you something. It does not matter who rejects you as long as Jesus Christ, come on, will accept you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what anybody says about anything in your life. What matters is your faith in God. And when God gives you a promise, there is going to be opposition, but you need to be persistent with your faith. I have never seen in my lifetime a man more persistent than Donald Trump. Come on. I'm not saying he's persistent in his faith, but I'll tell you what, he's persistent. For 8 years, opposition for 8 years being opposed. Everything you can imagine. Trying to ruin his character, trying to bankrupt, trying to kill him, but he's persistent. And he kept his persistence. Glory to God. And look what he's doing. He did more in 4 days than the last president did in 4 years. That's true. He actually makes me feel bad. His birthday is the day before mine, and he's 10 years older than I am. I'll be 68, he'll be 78. And his work ethic, I thought I had a good work ethic. My God, when does this man sleep? I actually sleep. I'm thinking maybe I should stay up a little later. He's challenging my faith. He's challenging my work ethic. He's challenging me to put more time in up here in the Word of God, and it should be a challenge to you too. Come on, help me out just a little bit. You talk about persistence. The disciples said, get her out of here. Healing don't belong to her. The racial barrier was not broken until Peter went to Cornelius' house. And they all got filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Let's continue to read here. He said, hey, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she knew that at that time. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And I'm going to tell you this. This is so good. The more persistent the worship, the more persistent the faith will be. Come on. Persistent worship will always produce persistent faith. I'm not just talking about... See, we don't really worship God here because we don't have the time. I mean, I try to get out of my flesh, and during the praise and worship, I ask God to anoint me to preach, and Father, help me to preach in another realm. Help me to put my flesh under. But worship takes time. It takes time. It takes time when you get on your knees and on your quiet time. Jesus, I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Jesus, you're my healer. Jesus, I worship you. Jesus, I worship you because you died on that cross and took my place. I worship you, Jesus, because you went to hell in my place and I didn't have to go. I worship you, Jesus. Jesus, you're the King of Kings. And you just worship him and worship him and worship him. And all of a sudden, the presence of God shows up. And an hour later, you still worship him. And it feels like it's been, 10 minutes. See, we'll take time to do other things, but when you really learn to worship him, be persistent in your worship, then you will be more persistent in your faith. Amen. Listen, you can be as close to God as you want to be. Amen. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? I'm trying to help you today. We're going to show you. These stories are true stories written in the Bible for our admonition and for our learning. She came and worshiped him. She understood that he was the Lord. He said, Lord, help me. Then he said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. Well, you talk about a low blow. If I called one of you a dog, I'd never see you again. Because in that day when Jesus first came, the children's bread was, it was healing. Healing was referred to as the children's bread, and it only belonged to the Jews. Hallelujah, come on. At that time. Now it's to everyone, come on. It's for everyone now. Jesus did that. He wanted to see if she really meant business or not. And actually he did. He knew she did, or she wouldn't even came there and hunted him down. She said, Lord, you just told the truth, and I understand that. I acknowledge that. But yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from under their master's table. Whew. She said, I may be a dog, but I'm still going to worship you. She said, I'm asking for a crumb, Jesus. Whew. She stayed there. She had persistent faith. And Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Listen, his own disciples didn't worship him like she did. She had persistent faith. She referred to him as the Son of David. She understood that who he was, and that he was Lord, and that he was the only one on this planet Earth. Let me say something. He's the only one on this planet that can give you what you really need. Nobody else can. Your husband can. Your wife can. Your friends can. Jesus is the only one, to get that straight, that can really help you. We can pray for you, but bottom line is, you've got to get alone with him. You've got to worship him. How long? As long as it takes. It doesn't say how long she was there worshiping him. She wasn't going to leave his presence until she got what she came for. And she just didn't start. Apparently this woman knew about worship. Apparently this woman had her mind made up when she read Isaiah and the Psalms. She knew who Jesus was. She knew he was the only one that could help her. Kind of like the woman with the issue of blood. Verse 25, she worshiped him. When you learn to worship Jesus, I'm going to tell you this. When you really learn to worship him, He'll do anything in the world for you. He'll do anything in the world for you. The presence of God was so strong in my office, and the two women that were here, they're watching online today, they know what I'm talking about. And I purposely gave him more word than we gave. I wanted him to stay there for probably another 30 minutes till they got sober, because they were so high when the Holy Spirit filled the place and touched her body. Glory to God. They came all the way over because one of the ladies said, "You're the only one I know that's anointing with oil and praying for the sick." I'm thinking there's got to be more out there somewhere. We're not the only ones. Surely we're not the only ones that do James 5:14. And I finished up the oil. I had to go yesterday and fill that. Listen, we got a fresh bottle of olive oil here for you today. Come on, we're ready to dump it on your head and get you healed. The disciples were supposed to be men of God. They walked with Jesus. They saw the miracles he did. They saw the healings that he did. And they said, "Send her away." Never ever matters. It doesn't matter who rejects you. Persistent faith will bypass all the opposition and will get you to Jesus. It took persistence to get this facility on this hill. Had a pastor tell me that, "Well, you don't need another church out on that hill." I had more opposition come than what you could think of. But what we did, listen, when we had a word from God, we used persistent faith. And the people that were with me, persistent faith. Johnny Lee was here from the start. Persistent faith. Some of you here, Sue, all you, persistent faith. And let me just say this. The greater the resistance should be the greater of your persistence. Huh? The greater the resistance should be greater your persistence. And we pursued God and we took one day at a time. And during all the opposition, we kept moving forward. And we're just getting started. Come on, give the Lord a hand. He's sending people here that are hungry for the Holy Spirit. "Well, I'm not coming to church today because I got other things to do and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and I got this to do and I got that to do." Honey, I just hope when the devil knocks on your door, you've got enough faith to handle him. We can help you. We can pray with you. We can do everything. But bottom line is you're going to have to get that for yourself. You're going to have to get it for yourself. Hallelujah. It gets quiet. Mark chapter 7, verse 30. Look what it says here. When she came to her house, she found the devil gone out of her daughter, and her daughter was laying. Could you imagine coming home and for the first time she had a normal daughter? Oh, my, my, my. And I'm going to tell you something. I promise you her daughter served God all the days of her life. Come on. I promise you that. For the first time, she could have a normal conversation with her daughter. For the first time, she could take her daughter places. For the first time, they could bake together and have fellowship together. What a blessing. And it's all because of a mother that knew she didn't deserve it, knew she hadn't earned it, knew society would reject her, knew the disciples would try to run her off, but her persistent faith in God got her daughter totally healed. And I'm convinced that there's going to be more people healed out of this church because of your persistent faith. Give the Lord a hand. Your persistent faith. It doesn't say how long her daughter was bedridden because it didn't matter. Nothing else mattered when the miracle took place. Her mother was fed up with seeing her daughter tormented day and night by the devil and made up her mind that she was going to do whatever it took to get to Jesus, and it paid off. Her persistence paid rich dividends. Now, Jesus spoke a parable to his disciples to show them how persistence pays off. Once you go to Luke's gospel, she's already got it up there. Last Sunday, I really put a test on her, didn't I, Ashley? We didn't even go by the notes last Sunday. Listen, if you missed last Sunday, please go online and watch it. Please go online and watch it. It was so good. In the first 8 verses, he spoke to them in a parable to this end, that men always ought to pray and not to faint. They should be persistent in their prayer, persistent in their speaking, persistent in their faith. There was in a city a judge which did not even fear God, didn't even regard man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Avenge me of my adversary." Now, I'm not sure what happened here. Her husband could have died, and they might have wanted to take her house or whatever the case may be. Back in the day, they'd even take your kids off of you. But she came to this judge, and she said, "Avenge me of my adversary." And he would not for a while. He basically said no, or he ignored her. But afterward, he said within himself, "Even though I don't fear God and I don't have any respect for man, yet because this widow troubles me, she won't leave me alone, she's constantly nagging me, I will avenge her host by her continually coming in, she's wearying me." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge says. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which pray to him day and night, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man shall he find faith on the earth." In other words, Jesus said, this woman consistently and persistently got on that judge till she got what she wanted, persistent faith. And he said, "When I come to the earth, will I find that kind of faith on the earth?" He will hear. I can promise you that. He will hear. You know, hallelujah. This book will get you anything that you ever needed. It will provide for you anything that you ever needed. That's why you with children need to get that out every day and read it to your kids. Speak the word over them before you take them to school. Pray with them. And not only pray with them, live the life in front of them, because they're not stupid. You think you're fooling them kids, you're not fooling them kids. They're highly intelligent. They know. If they had the guts, they'd say, "Well, Mommy and Daddy, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that?" Woohoo! About 3 amens. Good to see you, Connie. Didn't know you was here today. He talks about persistent faith. This woman nagged this judge and nagged this judge, and she was there every day. He probably got tired looking at her. Every day he came to the court, there she was again. And he says, "Man, I don't care about God. I don't care about her sad story, but I'm gonna give her what she wants just to get rid of her." Huh? That's the way you need to be with the devil. Come on. Huh? You need to be persistently running that cuss out of your life. There's an anointing in this house today. I can promise you that. Glory to God. And then he said, "Here, when I come to the earth, am I going to find faith?" Here was a widow woman that wasn't going to back off until she received what she came for. And Jesus said in verse 8, God will avenge those that persist in faith. He will avenge them speedily. Persistent faith gets speedy results at times. We've been talking the last 2 Sundays about doing a personal faith check and ask yourself a question. Am I persistently speaking words of faith? And am I persistently believing it will come to pass? Only you can answer that question. You know, I don't judge anybody. Amen. I'm to judge myself, and that's a full-time job. Come on. Judge yourself, lest you be judged. Amen. And I love 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 through 16. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. What you truly believe in your heart, you're going to speak out. Come on. What you truly believe, you're going to speak out. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we don't faint. We stay persistent. We don't back up. We go forwards. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Whether you like it or not, your outward man is perishing. You can paint it. You can go get your hair all colored, and there's one that'll do it for you and get you all looking good. You can buy stuff to push it up and push it in. It's true, right? They make a lot of money off that stuff. Don't think they don't. But listen to this. We're still aging on the outside. That's why we're supposed to renew our minds. Come on. That's why we're not to be conformed to this world system, but be renewed. Come on. Come on. Be renewed. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You're renewing. Listen, your spirit man is getting fed today. And your spirit, man, the faith on the inside of you will release things in your physical body, the healing power of the Holy Spirit, that will add years to your life. It will add years to your life than any vitamin supplement ever will. Come on, the Word of God. Nothing wrong with vitamins. I eat vitamins every morning. I eat vitamins. I try to take care of my body. Amen. I'm working on it more this year than I have. The wife and I went out the other day and doing all-you-can-eat soup and salad. She said, "You're only going to eat two bowls?" I'm thinking, shut up. I've never seen you only eat two bowls. Isn't that what you said? I said, Mary. I said, you know what, Mary? I only want to start eating till I get comfortable, not till I get full. Come on, not till I get so bloated that, oh, I'm telling you. And then those snacks, gosh, they have a voice. They have a voice. Sitting in the living room, watching TV, minding my own business. And then I have a vision of vanilla ice cream with strawberries on it. So I'm thinking, well, I got to cut down here. And you know, instead of getting the big bowls, I got a coffee cup. And so I'm down to a coffee cup full of ice cream. Hopefully, come on. Oh, it was good. Praise God. Oh. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Paul said, I keep under my body. He said, I bring my body under subjection. And we have to. Amen. Glory to God. For this cause, we don't faint. We don't back up. We're persistent. Even though our outward man's getting older, listen, we're more persistent in our spirit. And there's a strong spirit in this place. And you don't know how many people God sent to my office from other places to get healed. You just don't. We don't brag about it, but we're persistent on a daily basis. We believe what we speak, and we speak what we believe. We don't waver. We don't back off when opposition comes. We believe that those things which we say will come to pass. And the greater the opposition gets, the greater our persistence gets. In Matthew, the 20th chapter, I'm chewing on starting a podcast. Amen. I'm praying about it. I talked to Terry about it. And, you know, when you study for hours and hours and hours and hours and you only got a 45-minute sermon, there's just so much in there. I'd like to start a podcast just to get some of that out of me. Amen. If we can help a few folks and things we've done over the years. So anyway, it was just something I'm chewing on. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. You know, he always had a multitude following him. Why? Because there were so many people that needed healed. So many people. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, they heard that Jesus passed by. They cried out the same thing that the Syrophoenician woman did. They cried out. That means they're the top of their voice. Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And look here. The multitude rebuked them. People are always going to rebuke a man or woman of faith. They're not going to understand you. They're always going to say this can't be done or that can't be done. I'm going to tell you something. If I was going to start a small business, this would be the year to get it off the ground. This would be the year. And use biblical principles. Honor God in your business and he'll honor you. But always remember this. If you create a monster, you got to feed it. If you work hard and put God first, he'll bless your hands. He'll bless everything you put your hand to. And I'm believing that for a lot of God's people this year. It's time to prosper and take back what the devil ripped you off of. Come on, this last several years. It's time to take back what the enemy stole from you. And that's biblical too, but that's another sermon. The multitude rebuked them. Why? It embarrassed them because they should hold their peace. But you know what they did? They cried out the more. That's persistence. That's persistence. The greater the resistance, the greater the persistence. They wasn't going to listen to they listened to the multitude too long, and that's why they were still in the condition they were in. They cried out the more, "Oh Lord, Son of David." Jesus stood still and called them. Their persistence got Jesus' attention. Your persistence will always get Jesus' attention. Listen to what I'm telling you. Jesus stood still. There was multitudes around him. "What do you want that I shall do to you?" Like he didn't know, he knew, but he wanted to hear them say it. He wants to hear your faith. He wants to hear you say it. They said to him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." And Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Think about that just for a minute, what just took place there. The enemy will do his best to get you to shut up, but you need to speak the word even louder. Come on. The enemy will get his best. You tell people that God's going to heal you. They're going to say, "Oh, you don't really believe that stuff, do you? Oh, you don't really, oh, come on, man. That oil stuff, that, come on, man. You don't really believe that stuff, do you?" And that's something ought to rise up on the inside of you. Come on. And you ought to speak it even louder. "Yes, I believe it, and I know God's going to heal me. That's what the Bible says, and that's what I'm going to believe. And if you don't believe in healing, go ahead and die. You don't believe in healing, stay sick. It takes an idiot not to believe in healing. People say they don't believe in healing, but they'll wait 5 and 6 hours in the emergency room to try to see a doctor that can't even help them most of the time. And they'll give them pills because they're practicing physicians, and all it does is relocate their pain. They go in there and they get pills for a headache and their kidneys shut down. And I'm not knocking medical science. Thank God for medical science. But they're only going to take you so far. Don't ever let them be your final authority. Come on. Let Jesus be your final authority. I can't tell you the people I've had in my office that I cursed that sickness in the power of God. And they wept and they wept and they wept. And they left, just healed by the power of God. Hallelujah. Because this thing's real. And people's finally understanding, listen to me, they're finally understanding that this Bible is true. Come on, from cover to cover. It's the only thing that's not fake news. The only thing that's not fake news. The early church, if you study it out, they grew during the greatest persecution. They could have laid down and not did anything, but when they were persecuted, they grew. It didn't. Philip, one of the first deacons, he was chosen, is a perfect example. I want you to look at Acts chapter 6, the first 6 verses. "In those days, the number of disciples was multiplied. There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily service. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples to them and said, 'It's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables.'" The pastors can't do everything. And I'm so thankful that God sent volunteers to this church. Give the Lord a hand. We got some of the greatest people here. He said, "Look out among you 7 men." Now look at the qualifications only of a deacon. "Honest report, full of the Holy Ghost." Full of the Holy Ghost. Joe Ritter would not be teaching a Bible study back there unless he was full of the Holy Ghost. Come on, get there. And he's full of the Holy Ghost. Every day I get his sermon, and some of you do too. Praise the Lord. I mean, man, that takes a lot to get a sermon up every day, brother. But God's using him. He hasn't even seen anything yet. Come on, give the Lord a hand. His ministry is just getting started. His ministry is just getting off the ground, what God has for him. And so he says, full of the Holy Ghost, amen, and of good report, honest report, honest people, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, Philip, who had to be the same. And it goes on to say Procorius and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas, all these words I can't pronounce. Verse 6, let's just go on up there. Who they set before the apostles, and when they prayed, they laid their hands on them. They anointed them to do what God had called them to do. Now, once they chose these deacons, Saul had Stephen stoned to death. They couldn't stand it. He was so full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, the multitude stoned him. And the Bible says that Saul consented to his death. This is before he became Paul. And Philip goes and he helps bury Stephen and some of the disciples. And they had a hard time there. And then if that wasn't bad enough, Saul goes from house to house to put Christians in prison. That's what his job, that's what he did. And instead of Philip hiding somewhere, he went to Samaria and he preached. This man was persistent. You would think that he would have hid somewhere after he saw his brother deacon get stoned to death, but no. You know what he did? The Spirit of God rose up on the inside of him, and he went to Samaria. In Acts chapter 8, I want you to look here at the first 8 verses. This is so good here. And I was here. Here we go. Saul was consenting to Stephen's death. That's what it says right here. He put a stamp of approval. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. They stayed there and got into word. Devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They did not hide. They did not run because of the government that was putting them in jail. They didn't run. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And the next verse tells you what he did. Unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them. Many that were taken with palsies and were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Give the Lord a hand. Over one man that was persistent. He wasn't one of the 12. He was an ordinary man. He was a deacon. And he became an evangelist. Because instead of cowering down, instead of backing off, instead of hiding, he was persistent. The greater the persecution came to the church, the greater his faith became. And look at the results. Simple man filled with the Holy Ghost. He would not allow himself to become complacent. Listen. The church finally rose up last year and did something. Come on. They were complacent too long. They finally prayed and took our country back. Give the Lord a hand. They finally did something. If it wasn't for men and women with persistent faith, the church would have never gotten off the ground. They acted upon what Jesus told them to do before he left the earth for the last time. Mark 16 and 15 through 20. This is what he told them. And I'm going to tell you something. Listen, they took it literally. You need to take the word of God literally. Come on. You need to believe what it says. Come on, you have to. It's the truth. Here's what he told them right here. We read it a million times. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That's what Philip did. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. These signs will follow them that believe. My name, they'll cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents. That's not rattlesnakes. Those are demons. I used to watch that show over in West Virginia where they had the snake hand. You ever see that show? I think the show went off because they all died. That's what I thought. Test your faith. I ain't handled no rattlesnake. I shot enough of them when I lived in Texas. Amen. And, you know, they used to have rattlesnake roundups in Texas where we got born again. We was there for 9 years. I was stationed there. I worked for the government there. And they'd have these rattlesnake roundups. And it benefited because they got rid of a lot of the snakes. And then they made belts and rattlesnake boots. And man, the rattlesnake meat was really, really good. And I was walking in there and had the kids, and there was a big garbage can with a wire mesh on the top, and it said, "Caution, baby rattlers." And we looked up, and it was a baby rattlers, a little baby, you know what I mean? It was hilarious. It was like a, you don't forget things like that. But no, we're not called to handle rattlesnakes, all right? Now, if you accidentally get bit, I believe that God will heal you if you use the name of Jesus. Come on, help me out just a little bit there. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now look what happened after he left. After the Lord spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth, the believers, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Philip, and I could go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. How do I maintain persistent faith? And I'm going to give you just a few scriptures that's going to help you today. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25. Let us, the believer, hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. No wavering. Be persistent. Hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. Why? Because he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That's why I love seeing that here in this church. I love seeing the fellowship in this church. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. In other words, you need to be in church. As the manner of some lazy people are, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. And that day is approaching more quickly than what you want, than what you can imagine. Come on, help me out. I heard a news commentator the other day talk about 100 years from now, what it's going to be like. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke up really strong on me and said, we're not going to be here 100 years from now. Hallelujah. The earth's not going to be here 100 years from now. Amen. We're going to get out of here in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Amen. Look at verse 38 and 39, I believe. Now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall not have no pleasure in them. In other words, he wants us to be persistent. But we are not of them. He's talking to the believer. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but we are them that believe to the saving of the soul. Come on. We are persistent. We will never back off. We will never change our confession. We will live for God as long as there's breath left in us. We will be persistent. Take 10 minutes today and just read the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Just read it. It's amazing. It records the faith that the Old Testament men and women had and some of the remarkable things that they accomplished through persistent faith. And that they didn't even have the promise of the Holy Spirit then. But you ought to read the things that they did. It's just amazing. It's amazing. Just want to read a couple verses, Hebrews 11 and 13. These all died in faith. So many folks don't even live in faith, let alone die in faith. Not having received the promise of the Holy Spirit, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. These were Old Testament men of faith and women. They believe what the prophet Isaiah, they believe the Psalms. Verse 39 and 40, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, didn't even receive the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made mature. Listen, God has provided. Do you understand? Do you understand the importance and the significance that every one of us are here for such a time as this? Give the Lord a hand. You could have been born 100 years ago. We're all, listen, you're on this planet at this specific time for a purpose. And you're here in this church by divine appointment. Amen. And I'm going to, I cannot wait to see some of the vision come to pass that God gave me years ago. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And let me just say this. You're never too old to have persistent faith. You know, I've seen the devil lie to so many older people. Well, what can you do? You're old. What can you do? You can't even get around very good. What can you do? You can do more at your house on your knees than anyone else can do anywhere else. Come on. You can do more. You can do more. In fact, you're the one that has the time to do it. Instead of sitting there in your rocker and watching TV all day and falling asleep. Oh, I'm so bored. We don't get together. We're so bored. Why don't you pray for a while? Why don't you and your spouse have a personal revival at your house? So people walking by or driving by will experience that anointing and say, there's something going on over there. Uh-huh. Oh, I hope I touched a nerve. Did I touch a nerve? I love touching nerves. I want to show you something here, old folks. You that eat at Melman's. I love Melman's. My wife don't like Melman's, but she loves that raspberry cake. I feel like we're in a nursing home. I don't care, the food's good. I'll drop you off at Cracker Barrel. I'm going to Melman's. Whew. My flesh ain't there yet, but I went to Melman's about a week ago. I had a gift card, and I was looking at all that stuff. I'm trying to cut, and I am cutting down. Believe it or not, you're going to see less and less of me. Watch and see. And I thought, boy, that coconut cream pie looks good. Whew. It was good. Oh, it was good. Ooh, every bite of it was good. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Canadian broiled whitefish. See, when Jesus came back from the dead, if you'll study it out, he said, I'm hungry. Man, he said, I've been to hell and back. Give me some food. That's true. So they give him broiled fish and honeycomb. Can you imagine how the honey off the, oh, broiled fish. Crappie season is about to come. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Where are we at? We're in the Bible, aren't we? Psalm 92, I know we're exactly where I'm at. I just want to show some of the old folks something here. And I'm going to tell you what, you might be 30, 40, 50, but I'm going to tell you bat an eye, you're going to be older. Well, you're going to be older, whether you want to admit it or not. Be led by the Spirit. 12 through 15. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. You ever see a palm tree? He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Not talking about the lost man or woman, the righteous. Those to be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. It's not talking about fat and flourishing. It's talking about spiritually speaking. They'll still be used to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Huh? So don't let the devil lie to you and tell you that you're too old. I love Psalm 71:18. I've quoted that more than one time. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, boy, that'll make everybody feel good. Amen. Even Louie and Dustin, I see some silver on the side of them heads. Oh, yeah. When I am old and gray-headed, oh, God, don't forsake me. This is my prayer to him. When I'm old and gray-headed, don't forsake me. Until I have showed your strength to this generation and your power to everyone that is to come. Come on, give the Lord a hand. That ought to encourage you. That ought to encourage you. Because we're to show the next generation of believers how to be persistent in their faith. We are to lead by example. They should hear faith and see faith when they look at us. We cannot afford to lose them. Let me just show you something that Jesus said that many people leave alone. And I've heard different people preach on this. But Mary and I was watching something. I don't know what it was. And that this scripture came to my mind. And I said,
I'm going to give them that scripture. You.
See, I'm always thinking, things remind me of the Word of God. And I'm always, you know, wanting to give you what God gives me. Where we're at, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12 is where I'm going. Look what it says here. Jesus said this, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. From the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. John the Baptist got his head cut off and put in a charger. He had his head cut off. The enemy is doing everything he can to stop the kingdom of heaven on the earth. Are you listening to me? He comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. He's the author of sickness and disease. He'll stop at nothing to try and destroy what God has created. He had John the Baptist's head cut off. He had all the babies killed in Bethlehem and all around the coast from 2 years old and younger to try to kill Jesus, who manifested the kingdom of heaven on the earth. Look how many people he kills and has killed through abortion. Am I right? Come on. Look at how many violent people protested on the streets the day Roe versus Wade was overturned. They were violent. They were violently mad because we have the right to abortion. We have the right to kill these babies. The kingdom of heaven, they tried to stop it. Amen. Now listen. We have to be more persistent than what the devil is. Give the Lord a hand. We have to be more persistent. Jesus prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the devil will do everything he can to get you not to believe this book. Why? Because he wants to stop the kingdom of heaven manifest on the earth. When Jesus sent 70 believers out to lay hands on the sick and get them delivered of devils, he said, heal everyone that's sick and tell them the kingdom of heaven has come unto you. And the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the devil's doing everything he can. Listen, but I believe that things are going to change this year. Give the Lord a hand. I believe. Listen, the devil's so stirred up right now. He's so mad right now. You see that one guy on there? I'm not going back to Haiti. Yes, you are, son. Shut up. Get in the car. When Paul mentored the young pastor, Timothy, and actually when God called me to preach, and he led me to Timothy, and I'll never forget that many, 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 many moons ago. But when he mentored Timothy, I want you to see what he told him in 2 Timothy here, 1 chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. And this is for the church today. Now, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He said, be strong. He wants you to be strong. And the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And then Paul knew what Timothy was going to have to go through, because if you think pastoring's easy, walk in my shoes one day. One day. I just don't talk about it. We just do it. Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Church, we are in a war. Come on, we are in a spiritual war right now. Come on, it's not time to back off, it's time to go forward. Amen. God has chosen us to be soldiers. We are to fight the good fight of faith. And I love Ephesians chapter 6, and I know some of you can quote this, but you know, faith comes by hearing, huh? And hearing by the word of God. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13, here it is. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take upon you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And we're in that evil day and having done all to stand. And we do that with persistent faith. Come on, there's no other way that we can do it. The church took a stand last year and ran the devil out of the White House of the presidency and replaced him with a man who's at least doing exactly what he said he was going to do. But let me just say this to you before we close. We have a lot more battles to win, and we must continue to fight. We won a victory in the White House, and now we need to focus on the schoolhouse. We need to get prayer back in the public school system where it belongs. We need to hold teachers accountable when they try to tell our children to choose what gender that they want to be instead of the gender that God made them. We need to come against that. We need to hold those accountable who want to give our teenage girls abortion pills without even the consent of their parents. That must stop in the public school. And now we must continue, come on, to pray and to vote and to do our part. God has given us another chance to see if we really mean business. It's not time to sit back in victory. You can't live in yesterday's victories. Every day we're in a spiritual battle. Some of you every day are having a battle in the mind, and God can set you free of that. Persistent faith. And as long as we have breath left in us, we need to continue to fight. Give the Lord a hand. We need to continue. We need to continue to have persistent faith. Persistent faith. And you wait and see how it's going to pay off. I'm going to close with one more verse that David quoted in Psalm 27 in the first four verses. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Nobody. When Lane was younger, and I got to spend more time with him back then, now they're in school, and we'd ride down the road, and I would tell him scripture. Hey, Lane, what are we afraid of? Nothing, Pappy. I said, that's right. Come on. I'm putting that. Come on. Because God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? No one. No devil, no man. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? No one. No devil and no man, because we have authority. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should camp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Be confident in what? That the Lord is my light and my salvation. He's the strength of my life. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, and we should too, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, including my eternal life. Give the Lord a hand. Including my eternal life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Give the Lord a hand today. Are you going to have persistent faith? You going to run when things get tough? No. No. Let me say this. I've been doing hospital visits for 40 years, 45 years probably. As soon as I got saved, I started doing shut-ins, hospitals, nursing home visits. I've experienced, sat with many, many people that had terminal diseases. And I'm convinced that some of them died way too young. I'm convinced of that. And when the pain gets the strongest, your faith must become the loudest. Come on, help me out. When that pain becomes the strongest. And I'm not saying this is easy, but start getting it into your spirit. And if something happens to you, you can even be in a coma, laying in a hospital bed, and you'll be speaking in other tongues, and the doctors will say, they're speaking in another language. What's going on the inside of them? What it is, listen, it's the greater one on the inside of them. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And if you'll yield to that spirit, he's a spirit of might. Come on. Come on. He will help you to have persistent faith. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful. I could go on and I could go on and I could go on and I could go on. But I just pray, Lord, that Father, that the word did not return unto you void. If one person gets a hold of this, one person, they can change a city. They can change a nation. One person. They can change the outcome of their life. Hallelujah. And I just thank you, Lord. And I just ask for an anointing here today. That when we have this altar call, they that want to come, Lord, that the power of the Lord will be present to heal them. And I ask a blessing. Lord, they didn't have to come all the way. They come all the way from Moundsville, from all, everywhere. And they didn't have to come here today, but they came here. And I just ask that you bless them. Give them the desires of their heart. And we give you the praise and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.